I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be beginning in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians with verse 8. One difficult thing for the preacher of the gospel is to do all he can to convince people that the message is not just for a few, but for all. And if you can make the application of God's Word to your life, then the Lord can use it to be a blessing to you. And I'm praying that's what you will do as we look at this passage of Scripture. Paul is writing from one place to another place, telling the people to whom he writes why he cannot be with them at that moment and what his plans are. In other words, the man of God has received direction from the Lord, and he's explaining to believers, I'm going to follow God's direction. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I want you, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, to mark this expression in the 9th verse. A great door is opened unto me. A great door is opened unto me. Now remember that Paul is writing from Ephesus near the end of his missionary travel there. And God has worked in his life in a mighty way. If you'll turn with me, please, holding your place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. To the book of Acts. And the Word of God tells us about how God has blessed Paul and used him. If you have your Bible open to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts and the 8th verse, the Word of God says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believe not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. If you continue to read through the 19th chapter, you're going to find what a turmoil was caused. The Bible says in verse 19, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men and counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Then the Word of God tells us about the trouble that broke out. And for a number of hours, thousands, 25,000 people or more, were screaming to silence the message of Paul, screaming that great is Diana of Ephesus. Verse 34, but when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Can you imagine that? And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? He goes on to tell us about the uproar that was caused. And the Word of God says in verse 40, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar. Quite an uproar. Thousands of people screaming at the top of their lungs for more than 2 hours, praising their goddess Diana and trying to silence the Apostle Paul. And the Word of God says in chapter 20 and verse 1, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And God goes on to tell us all that he did in the great city of Ephesus, a world-renowned city, a city with one of the wonders of the ancient world, the goddess Diana. Perhaps something carved from this goddess image out of some meteorite that fell from heaven. And she was worshipped. Of course, all of that was involved with sexual behavior and in the temple there. And Paul was in this world-renowned city, this magnificent place in the eyes of the world, preaching the gospel, and became the object of all their hate, except for those who believed. And he writes to the church in Corinth and says, I'm staying here. I'm staying here. I couldn't tell you the times I received calls through the years from pastors, ministers, evangelists who said, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting away from something. I'm leaving somewhere. And I will be the first to say there's times when God does lead people to do the leaving. But I am convinced in my heart that so many people leave when they should stay. So many people are confronted with something difficult, not nearly as difficult as this man facing thousands, screaming at the top of their voices, trying to silence him and wishing to do all manner of harm to him. But they give up, they quit. But he says, and I read his words again, if you'll turn back with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. He's staying until a great celebration is to take place, and many thousands of people will be there to preach to. He's going to take full advantage of the opportunity to tell people about the Lord. If there's risk, he's running the risk. And he says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I remember discussing with my friends, praying with a number of them that I could trust, about my decision to come to Knoxville, Tennessee, nearly three decades ago. One man by the name of Dr. A.V. Henderson said, I know that church. Dr. Henderson is now in heaven, but a famous preacher, powerful preacher. He said, I know that church. And there's great potential there that's never been reached. If God leads you, that's the place you need to be. Of course, I talked to Dr. Robertson about coming here. I was loving where God had placed me in Paterson, New Jersey, 11 miles from New York City. And I believe that the Lord was blessing there in a mighty way. And I said to Dr. Robertson, I'm praying about something. I explained it to him. And he said, well, I'll just tell you this. I have never known of a great independent Baptist church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I think if you ask other people, they'll tell you the same thing. It's a hard place to be an independent Baptist. And that's what he said. And they left me to pray and find God's will for myself. And I have seen God bless in the most amazing way. And you've been a part of that. And it's wonderful. And I'm going to tell you, the door is still open. God is still blessing. And we give him glory for that. And I'm praying that God will give you the emphasis from this passage that I'm praying that he'll give me and all of us collectively. And I want you to write these things down, would you please? Number one, I want you to write down, there's a great door open. There's a great door open. What does that mean? It means more than opportunity. I'll come to that in a moment. But a great door is open. If you're thinking when you hear that, a great door is open for our church, then you need to remember, what is our church? Our church is made of individuals who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. The church is not buildings and property. I remind you again, as I've said so many times, the church is people filled with God's Spirit, united to do God's work is a local assembly of baptized believers pressing forward to obey God's commands. That's what the local church is. And you're a part of it. And the great door is open to you. To you. Right where you are. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God opens that door. In a sense, He opens that door when He gives you life. A door is open. The door of opportunity. There's more to it than the opportunity, but the door of opportunity. But when we ask God to forgive our sin and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He comes to live in us and He gives us this great open door. Can you imagine a man saying to a people where it would be much more peaceable, writing from such turmoil of what he hopes to do, from the midst of an uproar and saying, there's a great door open here and I'm staying till I take full advantage of this opportunity. Somebody told D.L. Moody more than a century ago that the World's Fair was coming to Chicago and people were going to be interested in everything but God. That was his home base, Chicago. And Mr. Moody got with God and prayed and said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. I'm going to have my greatest campaign, my boldest work for the Lord, the greatest outpouring of gospel ministry and preaching during the World's Fair. In all of the modern history of God's work, people who know things like that will tell you one of the greatest movings of God in all of modern history was during that World's Fair when D.L. Moody decided he'd meet that World's Fair head on and count it not some sort of obstacle, but a great open door. And people came there from everywhere and heard the gospel while they were there. From all the world, people came and heard the gospel and returned telling people about how Jesus Christ had changed their lives. You and I need to learn that God's work and God's ways are not the way man works and the way man follows out things. When something is happening, God uses that. He takes advantage of that as an open door for the gospel. My brother called me just a day or so ago from Southwest Florida, and he said, we've been hit. People are shaking. The Caribbean has been, much of it, had places destroyed. And it's left us with the greatest opportunity to move quickly through this open door that God has given us. I'm just saying, look at your life. Look where you live. Look where you work. Look at your family. Look at the people God brings across your path. God has given you a great open door. It might be in a place of business. It may be on the break in a factory during the day. It may be somewhere where God has placed you among a group of people to accomplish some task that's not related to your work. But God has given all of us an open door, every one of us. And we must see by faith, what is this door? What has God given me? And use it for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. When I was just a boy, God spoke to my heart about witnessing. I've told you the story, not all of it, but I've told you the story. I was working for Pet Dairy in Maryville, Tennessee, going to grocery stores and rearranging milk in dairy cases in grocery stores. And in doing so, I was seeing people I'd never seen before. And I suddenly realized God has put me in the path of these people to be a witness to these people. That's why I'm here. God opened this door. God gave me this job. And now I have this responsibility. I remember I thought I'd be so very bold as to put a little bookmarker in my shirt, my work shirt. And when you put it on the outside of the shirt and put the marker inside and the little tab that folded over on the outside to be seen, it read with the words, Jesus never fails. Now that might be something so insignificant to you, you think, and you thought that was witnessing? Let me tell you something. When you'd never done any such thing, and you began to sense in your heart that you were God's witness and God had placed you somewhere where the gospel needed to be given, just opening the door that way was a big thing for me. And I remember The first people who started coming up to me, asking me about why I was wearing that, and giving me an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. And I realized that each of us who knows Christ is the only Christian somebody knows. I hope the best Christian somebody knows. What I'm trying to say to you is we have a great open door. In our community, we have a great open door. In our city, we have a great open door. In our country, we have a great open door. God has given us a great open door to give the story of Jesus Christ to people. The great door is opened. Now I want you to write down the second thing. Simple. The great door is effectual. It's powerful, but it means more than powerful. It's effectual. Listen to what the Bible says. For a great door and effectual is open unto you. There's something going to happen. As we are faithful to God and give God's word, something's going to happen. Let me give you an Old Testament story if you'll hold your place here. Turn to the book of Genesis. Abraham was seeking a bride for his son Isaac. And he had a faithful servant. And he made the servant swear that he would go do a certain thing to a certain place in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis, if you have your Bible open there. Strange travel to a stranger place. And if you know the story, you know that as the man obeyed the master, did what the master gave him to do, that when he arrived at this particular place to where he was going, a woman came to water the camels, and that was the very woman God ordained and planned for him to meet. And that woman became the bride for Isaac. And the Word of God tells us, if you look in the 24th chapter, as he explains to his family and later to Abraham, he explains what God has done. And the Bible says in verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master, Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, he found Rebekah, but God already found her. And God planned for Rebekah to meet this unnamed servant and bring her back to Isaac to be his wife. I think you should mark this in your Bible in verse 27 if you haven't marked it already. I being in the way, in other words, doing what God gave me opportunity to do. When I did what I was asked to do in obedience to my master, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I'm saying to you, when you and I stand and stare at things and we wonder, well, something needs to be done. Why doesn't somebody do something? God has opened the door for us. You see, you don't know that the wife of one of these men you work with has just been to the doctor and told the saddest news possible about some terminal illness, but God knows. You don't know the crisis someone's going through with his child or her child, but God knows. You don't have any idea. You don't see inside the hungry heart of that person, and I don't either, but God does. So God opens a door for us to be beside those people, with those people, speaking to those people. But we must take the initiative. Move through the door that's opened. May God help us. Let me show you something else in the book of Hebrews before we return to 1 Corinthians. In the book of Hebrews, I quote this verse so often, but I want you to see it. Put your eyes on it. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith, without faith, not just knowing something exists, acting on it, making the motion, going through the door, I may say. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said, the great open door is effectual. You can expect results. You can expect God to do something. And the Bible says, as we move by faith, God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I wish you'd allow me sometime to tell you what I went through in my own heart praying about starting Crown College and starting so many other things when there was nothing but a dream or an idea. But God gave me the opportunity. God gave the open door. And I said, Lord, I need faith. I'm trusting you, believing you. And I stepped out on it. And lo and behold, God met me. I guess for always, the strongest thing I could tell you was when we said we're going to have a college. And we're going to begin it. And we gave a date. And we talked a little bit about it. And some people who believed in us recommended it. And on the first day it started in 1991, 69 people showed up. And I remember the biggest bonehead we ever had came that day. And he walked around behind the buildings. All of it was here at the church facility. He walked around behind the buildings in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt with an inquisitive look on his face and said, hey, buddy. He didn't know who I was. I didn't know who he was. He said, hey, buddy. I said, hello, son. He said, I'm looking for Crown College. Can you tell me where it is? And I said to him, you found it. You found it. Now, since then, 3,500 have graduated from it. 3,500 graduated. They're in every state. They're on every continent. I'm saying the open door is effectual when God opens the door. The person who may do the greatest thing for God imaginable may be right through your door as you by faith go through it and give the gospel witness and testimony to them. You see, it is effectual. God will work. Look at old Paul traveling on his missionary journeys. He comes to Ephesus and stays 3 years. 3 years. And God summarizes his work in Ephesus with the 10th verse of the 19th chapter of Acts and says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. That was the result of walking through that door. I think sometimes we get the idea that, well, we're Christians. Heaven's our home. If we died today, we'd see Jesus. But we're still here. And the door is still open. And God expects us to go through it. I say it's more than opportunity. I got certain opportunity when I was born. I got great opportunity when I was born again. But it's more than opportunity. What I'm saying to you is when you and I are willing by faith to step through the unknown into that door, God himself will meet us. What can he do? Why would he use us? But he opens the door. And as he opens the door, this great door is open. And God says, this great door is effectual. By faith, walk through it and meet me. And you'll stand amazed. All your life, you'll stand amazed at how God continues to keep opening and blessing and rewarding as we trust him. But you've got to start. You've got to step. You've got to move. You've got to have action. You've got to have faith. Oh, we'll talk about the adversaries when I preach again, if I live and the Lord doesn't come. But remember, the great door is open. The great door is effectual. Let me give you a third thing. Someday, the great door will close. It will close. Ephesus today is a ruin. All their fancy columns in the ruins. No people there. Nothing world-renowned. Nothing spectacular beyond the ruins, except pools of water that are filled with mosquitoes that could give you malaria. Nothing to stand in awe of. That door's closed. The people are gone. It's all over. And I'm saying to you, for your door, it won't always be open. It's a silly story, but it bothers me. When my oldest grandchild was just a little thing, he said to me one day, "I'd like to have a tree house on your property." And I was so indecisive, I couldn't think where to build it. Well, I said, "I can't build it too near the house. I can't build it on this particular driveway. I don't want to build it in the middle of the woods. He's just a small thing at the time, and he doesn't want to be there." But he wanted a tree house. He let me know several times he'd like to have a tree house. And I like to tell him I'd like to build it. I'd really like to build it. I imagine that's been more than 20 years I didn't build it. And I think of it more often than he would ever imagine. Because now he's not interested in a tree house. Least thing in the world, a tree house. And some of you have got an open door with a little girl or a little boy. But let me tell you, someday the door will close. And they'll have more time for their interests, and rightly so, their growth in life, and rightly so, their peers, and not your presence, and rightly so, as they're making their journey. But you had your open door. You had it. You had it with a mother. You had it with a father. But someday you won't have it anymore. That'll be gone. You had your open door with a grandparent, a granddaddy or a grandmother who could have influenced your life, or granddaddy or grandmother who could have influenced you, or you could have influenced them. But it won't be open forever. Someone that you work with who needs Christ, and someday you'll hear something sad that they're gone, quickly gone. Can't reach them anymore. The door closed. You understand what I'm saying? That God speaks to you and God speaks to me about our open doors. A great door and effectual. Life-changing things can happen if we go through that door. Never to be forgotten things could happen. Eternal things could happen if we go through that door. But we don't. I don't know what's wrong with us. Sometimes we think the door will be open forever. But it won't be. God is blessing in this church in a wonderful way. People say the kindest things to me and to my dear wife. They share things like this: "The Lord's really blessing us. I sense a sense of revival in this place. Wasn't it amazing to be in that meeting last Sunday night?" they say. "We sensed the presence of God there. God was moving in a great way." It was a door God opened, but it will not be open forever. It will not. Paul finally, just a few short verses away, was telling the elders of Ephesus goodbye at Miletus and saying, you will see my face no more. Now, I have plans to continue with my whole heart, and you do the same. But all the doors that are opened around us won't always be open. Before you know it, a great door may be completely closed, opened no more. Open no more. I think about our children's ministry and things I want to do for our children, all of our children. But I must do them quickly. I must get people convinced, involved, willing to go through their open doors and by faith act and move and do what God says. Because those children won't be children to be reached and ministered to long. I think about this amazing group of teenagers we have now in our church. It's amazing. It seems like the cumulative of so many things that have been placed in their lives doesn't mean to say they haven't been great teenagers before. Many of them are grown men and women sitting and listening to me today. But there's such an amazing spiritual work going on in the lives of our teenagers at this moment. You sense it, I sense it. It is God's great open door to their lives. But it won't always be open. If we don't do everything we should do, perhaps we'll be some of the fault for having to try to find them someday before long when they have no interest at all because the door to their hearts and their lives will then be closed. I hope not, but you and I know how it goes, don't we? I'm saying to you, every human being has a great open door. You may think somebody's got more than you, but you've got a great open door. And your open door is effectual. So you're becoming a woman. What kind of woman will you become? Young lady, it has everything to do with what you do with the open doors God gives you. So you're becoming a man, young man. I applaud you, I commend you. But it has everything to do with the open doors by faith that you go through at this moment in your life. Everything. So you're starting out in life in a young marriage. Well, there are open doors for you. And the quality of life you live and the marriage you have has everything to do with your refusal or faith dealing with those doors that God opens for you. I don't want to be a complainer because I'm one man who has to say before God, I don't know of anybody that's been blessed and helped like I have. My life has been extended. Friends all over the world, people who love me. Dillard Hagin said to me, Clarence, they'll always want you to be an evangelist because you're enthusiastic. He said, don't do it. I would like to think I would have been an evangelist if that's what God wanted. But I haven't preached an evangelistic meeting out or revival meeting out in more than a quarter of a century that I remember. That's not what God called me to do. He said, you be a pastor. It's in your heart to do it. I said, yes, sir. And he said, wherever you travel for a day or two, you'll always have wonderful people who love you that you come home to and you come home to them and you'll be glad to see them. See, God gave me that open door. I could have gone some other way, but God gave me that open door. What is your open door? A great door and effectual is open unto you. But wake up. Wake up now before you're staring at a once open door that's closed. Wake up now until he or she that was raised in your home has no time for you. Wake up now. Make sure you give God his rightful place now. Make sure you give the Lord his rightful place, Lord's church its rightful place, God's word its rightful place, prayer its rightful place, the Lord's day its rightful place. God gives us open doors, but they won't always be open. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus, would you please? In the Gospel according to John, the Lord Jesus says in the 9th chapter, if you want to look at this, in chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote these words, of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. It might have been. Those are haunting words, aren't they? Aren't those haunting words? I don't know if I'll weep publicly, but I'm weeping in my heart. It's as though you want to go through life and say, since I've been redeemed, dear God, help me be sensitive, open, to know your will, your way, every open door, every move. Help me by faith to launch out. People say, why did one man try to do all these things? Because the man saw doors God opened in his heart and mind. And he trusted God to go through them. And the Lord made them effectual. That's the difference between just opportunity and the effectual door. It's God saying, I'll meet you to accomplish the work if you'll step out by faith and believe me. God's going to surprise you. You're going to stand in amazement at God's work through you. He's going to take you beyond anything you ever imagined if you'll just trust him. Just trust him. God gave Evelyn and me two boys. Well, they were just little things, little things. I bought one of them a lion, and I bought one of them an eagle. A nice lion, beautiful looking, a nice eagle. And I said to them, I want you to become a lion for God, and you to become an eagle for God. And before you know it, boys, you'll be men. And I want you to become that kind of man. My youngest son graduated from high school. It was a traumatic situation because he was a senior in Paterson, New Jersey, and we moved here his senior year. I've always been sensitive to kids who come to us who have moved about. Such a sensitive thing. Many tears. My oldest boy, they've been such blessings. But Matt was just a senior. It was a hard year. And on the graduation night, after having been here 1 year, really less, just the school year, he and I were alone. And he said something I've never forgotten. He said, Dad, I've tried to give it my best. I have no regrets about the high school. That had a double meaning for me, see. No regrets about the high school having moved to another one. No regrets about having finished because you couldn't do it again and finishing here. I've given it my best. I've tried to do everything I could do to the full. No regrets. When I heard him say that, I thought, thank God. And then I thought about me. When I get to a certain place to be able to look back in retrospect at a life, I want to be able to say, I have no regrets. I have lived it to the fullest. How do you do that? By going through these open doors. And meeting God. They laughed in New Jersey when I said, we're going to start a Christian school. But we started a Christian school. They said, where are we going to get the money? I sold my house and gave the equity. They said, you want it back? I said, no, God will reward me more than that. I met him through the door. And there's story after story here, too personal to tell. But I met him through the door. I'm your pastor, and I love you. I'm the only one some of you have ever had, many of you. I just want you to have God's full blessing going through the open door and seeing it is effectual, that God does more than you ever imagined he would do. He'll bless you. No wonder the apostle started this the way he did in the 15th chapter. It's where we end it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As much as you know, how many of you can say you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord? A great open door is opened unto us, a great effectual door. Let's bow in prayer, may we?